So my name's Jose, and I'm an addict. My clean date is 2/21/01, and I say that because the topic is hope, and clean days matter to me. I remember when I first got clean, I would hear people's clean dates, and it would get me excited. It gave me a little bit of hope that that I too could someday get clean. So my sponsor, who's from this area, my sponsor previous in that is also from this area. He passed away a few years ago, and he used to always tell me, hope means hearing other people's experience. That's one of the things that he used to always tell me. Another thing that he used to always tell me is you don't have to do dope to do dope fiend things. And that resonated with me because I know in early recovery, I was still doing dope fiend things, even though I wasn't using any dope. So my story always starts, whenever I talk about my experience, I always start at the end. The beginning and the end. The beginning of my recovery and the end of my using. Because all of us know, what we did to get here. We all did different things very similarly. And we all felt very similarly. And so my very first Narcotics Anonymous meeting was also on my very first clean day. And that was May 19th, 1997. That was my first meeting. And the only reason why I went to that meeting is because the day before, on May 18th, I got arrested once again. And then the next morning I got released, and then I was instructed by my lawyer who met me at the bail bonds that I should start going to meetings and getting my slip signed because it's probably going to help when this case comes up to court. So that's what I did. So May 19th, 1997, a couple hours clean, and went to my very first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I can't honestly tell you I don't remember anything about that meeting or that day at all. I remember my two last day using more than I remember my first two clean dates because I was in a fog still. I mean, I didn't literally take any dope that day, but there was still dope in my system. And at that meeting, I don't remember what happened or anything. I remember getting my slip signed, not knowing what was going on, feeling like I was completely out of place, and then leaving there and saying, I'm probably not going to do this. It's not really necessary. You know, it's just... We had this thing in California where I got clean called drug court. So I just assumed that I was going to be able to go to drug court and I didn't need to get my slip signed and all that stuff. But the lawyer insisted that I go to these darn meetings. And because of a fear of going to prison, because I was always told guys like me get made girlfriends in prison. So... because of the fear of going to prison, I continued to go to these classes. I continued to get my slip signed. And I started actually going to functions, and I started actually talking to people, but never at one time did I ever feel that this is my tribe. I never got the message because I wasn't open to it. You know, so I hung around these circles for almost a year of not using, not listening to anybody, and feeling like I didn't belong. Like that was, I had no desire to get clean. I didn't think I had a problem. And if there's no problem, why seek a solution? So naturally, I did what drug addicts do. I went back out. It wasn't a relapse because I didn't have any recovery. I was just not using. And then, you know, on our sponsor family group chat, somebody just celebrated 26 years clean, so their clean day was 1999. Somebody's like, 1999 was a great year. I said in 1999, I was 2 years into a four-year relapse. So 1999 was actually not a terrible year. I didn't know how bad it was. And then, so I mentioned earlier my clean day is 2/21/01. On February 20th, 2001, which is officially my last day using, I was on my way to court. I was on my way to court, and of course, on your way to court, you're supposed to be getting high, right? That's what I was doing. So that was the last time I got high, was 8 in the morning on February 20th. So that means when I got arrested at court, which is what ultimately happened, like that whole day, February 20th, should be my clean date because I didn't get high except in the morning. So I got robbed of a clean date. But the next morning when I woke up in county again for the last time, that's my first clean date. And I don't remember it because I don't think I woke up. I think I slept through the whole day. I was coming down big time. But the night before I went to court, I got a phone call from the court, and they said, there's a bed available for you right now in Pathways, which is the treatment center that I went through. And if, because tomorrow, just to let you know, tomorrow morning you're getting remanded, and there's a bed available right now. Like, a sane person would have been like, yeah, let's go to treatment instead of jail. That's not what happened. I'm like, no, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to think I'm going to take my chances in court, because at this point in time, I had already been pissing dirty. I had already been beating the system, so I thought, and because I couldn't stay clean for the life of me. Like, I knew what time I was going to be bottled. I knew what time, where, and with proper flushing and my drug of choice, I could probably get clean in 24 hours and have to piss clean. And it just didn't happen. Like, if I had to stop using at 3 because I was testing at 3 the next day, I'd be like, I'm going to stop using at 3. I'm going to stop using at 4. That's it. All right, 5 o'clock for sure. And it never happened. And then I didn't piss clean one time in this process. And that's why when I walked into court on February 21st, and on February 20th, and my whole family was there, because I'm the youngest of 6, and I have 5 older sisters. So when I say that guys like me got made girlfriend in prison, I wasn't the toughest cat. I had 5 older sisters, right? So they all would come to my court dates from all over the place because their baby brother, you know, was having bad luck. He just kept being in the wrong place at the wrong time with bad friends, because that's what I told them, of course. I never told them. And they didn't know. They didn't know I was using, even though I weighed like 115 pounds and I was in a size 27 jean with sweats underneath, so it looked like I was bigger. That's what I had withered down to. And I had hair down to my butt, and then I had rings in every finger. So like I said, guys like me got made girlfriends in prison. That's literally the definition of what I look like. But so at court that day, I walked in and I gave all my sisters hugs, and there was no court date, like I mentioned. I walked in and they called my docket, and then the judge says, empty your pockets, you're being remanded. Like, there was not a court date at all. It was already decided. And I was told it was decided, but I was in denial that it was decided. And then so, of course, me being the good dopey that I am, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. How about that treatment center you mentioned yesterday? And Judge Terry was a famous drug court judge in San Jose, California, where I got clean. Judge Terry said, Mr., that ship has sailed. So I turned around to empty my pockets, and I saw my sisters there, and they were all just crying in tears. And at that point, and I know today, what I didn't know then is my very first spiritual experience, because at that moment, in that courtroom, looking at my sisters crying, emptying my pockets, being arrested once again, I was done. It was it. I felt it in my bones. Like, you know what? This is it. You're done. And fortunately, thanks to Narcotics Anonymous, I haven't had to use since that morning. You know, February 20th, 2001. So this February, God willing, it'll be a quarter of a century, which is fucking amazing to me. From a dude that couldn't stay clean for a day to 25 years, man, that's crazy. And the reason why I tell you that is because the defining moment of when I got clean and when I started working a program was I started actually listening to the message. And what is the message? It's hope, right? The message is hope and the promise is freedom. And when I came around the second time, you guys didn't look so crazy. Like, the first time, you guys are crazy, man. I did not do the right drugs. Because back in 1997, I mean, the rooms were mostly just junkies, right? Just needle users. I wasn't a needle user. And then I couldn't relate, because everybody back then they were using needles and they were smoking crack, and I smoked crack, but they didn't do that. but that wasn't my drug of choice. You know, it was just. And so it was a different crowd, and I didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't have the right tattoos. I had never been to prison yet. You know, all the different things. So I didn't receive that message, because I didn't allow the message to come in. I wasn't ready for it. But after experiencing a certain level of degradation and a certain level of fear and a certain level of hopelessness, I was ready to receive the message that was being given. So When I came in, I started listening for that message. I started looking for the similarities, even though we still didn't look the same, even though we still didn't do the same drugs and we still didn't go to the same places. I felt that we felt the same things. Like I actually was available for the message that was being delivered. I was able to hear other people's experience. I was able to find my tribe. And it was one person at a time, right? So I started doing some work, and that's what made the difference. Doing the work is what actually made the difference. Like from the very first meeting that I went to, I heard the same shit. You guys were on like repeat, like a fucking parrot. Like every single meeting I go to, get a sponsor, work the steps, do the inner service, like every single one. And then I realized that any person that had any level of sanity that they were trying to restore, or any level, I don't want to sound mean, but any level of intelligence at all. Like, you don't got to be the sharpest tool in the shed. If someone's going to give you the answers to the test and you want to score high on the test, use the fucking answers to the test. Right? And they were giving us the answers to the test from day one. Every single meeting I went to, the answers to the test were being handed to me. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm going to get an F. I'm going to fail this shit. I'm going to show you guys that it can be done a different way. And that's exactly what I did for a while. And in the first year and a half of being clean, I was just clean. I was still doing dope fiend shit. I was sharing this with a very good friend the other day, is I was still whoring. I was still cheating. I was still lying. I was still manipulating. And I was still hurting the people that mattered to me. And then they say when the pain gets great enough, and that's exactly what happened. So then I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's something to the step work stuff. I started working the step. And more important, I started believing that my life could change. I started listening to other people's experience. People that were not like me, but most important, I finally started to identify the people that were like me. I started to find my tribe. And one thing that I learned is not everybody's experience and not everybody's message is for everybody. Like what I say is not going to be for everybody. But my hope is that I travel here from San Antonio to share, and that my message of hope can reach just one person. And if that happens, then I did my damn job. And if it doesn't happen, I stayed clean another day by doing it. You know, so I started finding my tribe. But then I found out that at some point in time, everybody's my tribe. Even people that I might not agree with, even people that I might not get along with swimmingly, if they're in need, I'm going to be there. I was just talking about that with one of my sponsees yesterday. You know, there was a guy that came into my home group, and we don't necessarily vibe. Like, we're not the same. We don't have the same, like, energy. We're just different. We've never really clicked. And he came into my home group, And he shared, and he laid his soul on the line, and he was hurting, and he was in pain. And then he left. I got up and I chased his ass out of the meeting. Unfortunately, he was already in his car pulling away. So then I hunted down his number. I called people to get his phone number, and I called him. Because that's what we do. I want to be able to deliver that hope to somebody, because I went through that same exact thing that he went through. And I wanted to be able to tell him that, you know what, it's going to be okay. On the other side of this, it's going to be okay. It might be hard now. It might be challenging now. But on the other side, I'm going to get a certain level of growth from it. That's what I learned from all the challenges that I've gone through. Any time that I've dealt with adversity in my life, I come out the other side stronger, more confident in myself, more confident in my recovery, with a little more hope that I'm going to be able to continue to grow. And that's what it's all about. Like, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. The steps have given me a certain level of freedom that I never, never thought possible. I literally thought I was insane. And then I got the hope through step two that I could be restored to sanity. I didn't believe it at first, but you believed it. You told me that I was going to be restored to sanity, and your belief was enough for me to believe. Like, I hear about drug psychosis. I hear about some people never coming back from it. That's where I thought I was. Like, I was a stone cold tweaker. Like, doing crazy shit. I plucked every one of my eyelashes out. I thought there was bugs on them. So I was in the mirror this close plucking that shit out. That's how psychotic I went. And I didn't think I'd ever be able to come back from it. That's a small sample of where I was at the end. I didn't think I was ever going to come back from that. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to believe in a higher power. That didn't make sense to me. God, higher power, none of that made sense to me. If I'm being honest, it kind of pushed me away a little bit when I first came through the doors, when people started talking about God. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't grow up in a church going family. I went to school with a bunch of other children who talked about God, who prayed to God, and God answered their prayers, and God did this for them, and God did that for them. The only time when I was little and I turned to God, he wasn't there. He didn't answer. So I did not believe in that God. When that little boy was hiding in the closet and my stepfather was beating the shit out of my mother, and I was praying for God to save us, he didn't come. And he didn't come the next night or the next night or the next night. So when I got here and I was told to believe in God, that was a tough one for me. But the best part about it is I started to be able to listen to the message and listen to what people were telling me. And I was told that I can come up with a God of my understanding. And I was told that it didn't matter what that God was. And then when I processed my second step with my sponsor recently, I told him that, and this is like round four of steps, and this is the first time this really came up at 24 years. And I told him that I feel jealous of other people's relationship with their higher power, the way they talk about it. And I'm sharing this with you. I don't never share this at a group level before. I don't even know why I'm doing it now. It's just coming out. Whatever comes out is what's supposed to come out, right? So I told him I'm jealous of other people's relationship of a higher power. I can't relate to that. He's like, your relationship with your higher power is exactly how it's supposed to be. Thank you for that, by the way. And he explained why, and it made sense to me. And that's what I love about this process, is I'm never going to stop growing. Never going to stop learning. I'm never going to stop getting more hope for the future. And I've been extremely blessed in this journey, health-wise, family-wise. Even my dogs are cool as shit. You know, I'm lucky. You know, and that's what makes me grateful on a regular basis. Gratitude is a huge part of my recovery. As long as I stay great, and that's why I remember, that's why I remember my last day using more than I remember my first day clean, because if I ever forget that last day using, I'm going to talk myself into going back into that. You know, the reason why I tell the story about plucking all my eyelashes, even though I'm far removed from that, is I never want to forget that fucking tweaker that was there, that I was. I'm so far removed from that, I can very easily forget that shit. Like the disease, no, I have a pretty active program. I'm of service, I sponsor people, I talk to my sponsor, I'm of service to my home group, I go to meetings, I work the steps, I pray, like I'm active in my recovery, and still, the disease comes at me all the time. That's why it's so important to work your program on a daily basis. We only have a daily reprieve. Like, my disease will tell me it wasn't that bad. Like, look where you're living now. Look how you're living now. Look at your life now. It really wasn't that bad. Maybe you're not an addict. I'll forget that shit. I'll try and think, because, I will try and be like, you know what? My disease will tell me maybe you can go to dinner and have a glass of wine with all those other people, all those normals. My disease will tell me that. And that's why I got to continue to stay active. That's why I continuously remember my last day using. I came into these rooms hopeless. I didn't think I would ever be able to get clean. I didn't think I would ever be able to be a functioning member of society. I didn't think I would ever be restored to sanity. I definitely never in a million years would have told you I believed in a higher power, because I was under the impression of to God and everything else that was divine, right? That was not my thing. But because of this program, I was able to develop all of those things. And it all started with that little tiny bit of hope that you guys believed I could way before I believed I could. My name's Jose and I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, family. I'm Stacy Joe and I'm an addict.
Hey, Stacy Joe.
My clean date is October 1st of 2001. No. 8. 2001, my daughter was born. Sorry. Wrong one, right? October 1st of 2008. So I wanted to start out this Living Clean. There's a paragraph that I wanted to read out of this. It's a pretty amazing book. The journey continues. Living Clean is a lifelong journey, and the NA program gives us tools to build a life infused with hope. No matter where we are in our journey, we believe that we can get better, and that it can get better, and that we can get better. We practice a principled life and find a new way to live. We try new things, and some of them suit us better than others. As we experience living clean with its ups and downs, miracles and struggles, dead ends and open doors, we see the world more clearly and better, and we understand our place in it. So with that, I just want to start out with, you know, what this program has given me from day one is a sense of perspective, right? And my level of need, of hope, strength, experience from you guys, like, changed each day that I was here. You know, my needs in the beginning were, I hope I can get a day under my belt, right? I hope. I'm praying. I don't even know if I'm praying. Like, I'm begging to get one day clean, right? And not kill my husband and not kill the kids as we go through detox and we're slamming doors and we're cussing and we're screaming and finances have lost. Finance? What finances? Right? Like, what I remember is the struggle of just trying to stay here, knowing with all my previous relapse that I belong here, and I'd finally reached that point where I was, I'm done, right? There was no more trying to prove myself different from you guys. There was no more substituting that worked, because I really tried to substitute some shit, right? And so the longer that I stayed and I just kept coming back, the easier it made it. You know, and in the beginning, my needs were, I just need to make it to a meeting and not leave halfway through to go smoke a cigarette or go to the bathroom or just to get up, right? To just stay seated for the entire hour, right? Just stay in the meeting. Sometimes I had to chase a kid, and that's fine. What this program did was y'all helped me raise my kids, because I came in pregnant, and the story of my husband and I were that we got married in our addiction, and it got to the point where, like, we both had prior knowledge of the program, and when he came home one day and was like, "Babe, like, we're married. I'm going to go to a meeting, and you can either go with me or you got to get out." Like, it was hitting that point in our relationship where we knew we're both about to go left field, and we're going to throw these kids in the trash can, right? And I was like, "Hold up. We just got married. I live in Pasadena. I don't know my way around. I'm not trying to get divorced and homeless all in the same decision. So, yes, I'll go to the meeting." Right? That's a big deal. Yep, I'll go. Did I want to be there? Nope. About 2 weeks later, did I find out that I was pregnant? Yep. Did God do for me what I could not do for myself? Yep. Because I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. And my son wouldn't have made it. So on that journey, right, like I'm going because I know I need to be here. I don't want to be here because y'all are like hugging me and there's all these women trying to make friends with me. And me and women don't get along, but put me with some guys and it's so much easier to hang out with, right? And these women are telling me, you know, keep coming back and I love you. And they're telling me all these things. And I'm like, so jealous, so wrapped up in self that I'm like, I'm going to need y'all to get away from my husband. I'm going to need y'all. You can't sit next to him. Like, I am so all over it, right? Like, we're hanging out outside and Drew's like here and there's another female here. And then on the ride home, I was like, what were y'all talking about? Who was that? You know, and so I was just all in the wrong things, right? Like, I was still trying to protect what's mine, you know, because that's how it is on the streets, right? You got to hold on to what's yours, or it's going to be taken from you. And I know women can be trifling, because that's what I was, right? Trifling. So, you know, I stayed in this program. I had a child in this program. My husband and I are still married today. And we still have the same clean date 17 years later. Same clean date. 16 years. 16 years. I can't, no front. No front. And so what I know is that us being, you know, on that relationship side of it, which some people don't talk about all the time, right? Because you're not supposed to be in a relationship when you get clean. But mine already existed, so... It's not to say I wouldn't have gotten one anyway, but, you know, there was that golden rule that, like, if you relapse, you have to go. You cannot stay in this house because I'm going to get jealous and I'm going to go with you. I know that. Well, he can do it. I'll show him, right? It'll be retaliation, tit for tat, all over again. And I know what that's like. So I'm grateful that we still... been able to hold solid in this program. You know, but my hope starts where I start picking up the paper, right? I start picking up the pen and paper and I start doing some of that step work and I get honest. I get honest for the first time in all the attempts that I ever tried getting clean because there were still some things that I'm not letting go of just yet, right? Like, those are my secrets and I don't know how you're going to use them against me. Like, that level of trust was just not there. And then I found one person, and when I asked her to be my sponsor, when I first came in, she's like, I've been waiting for you. Because I cried during the reading of when we say our husbands, wives, and our children. I couldn't get it out. Like, I just bawled. Because it meant that much to me. You know, like, I know I need to change the way I'm living. And so, and we worked the steps, and I remember just sitting down with her for the first time in her living room, and she just told me that she loved me and that I was beautiful. And I cried. I was like, I haven't, for somebody to say that and not really know me, but want to know me and want to be there to help me and just walk me through this process. Like, I needed that loving hand at that time, right? Don't beat me down because I've been doing a good job of that myself, right? I just needed that tender love, and I got it, and I was able to get through the steps. And so many times, being honest saved my relationship, y'all, because we, I don't know, detoxing and getting clean and the kids and the house and the chaos. Like, some people say, like, oh, y'all are a power couple. I wish you would have known me in the first 3 years. It was a shit show. I mean, it was bad, guys. Like, I love slamming doors. I love cussing somebody out, throwing stuff. Like, it was so satisfying. It gave me power, right? But I didn't know how to manage that. I'm growing up in front of you guys. I don't know what I'm doing. And if I didn't get honest with my sponsor about those arguments that I started it, or what I said, my part, my side of the street, then she couldn't help me. Because she wouldn't have known what to say, right? And it, sometimes it was as simple as, I'm going to need you to leave that man alone. I was like, but I don't want to. Because I'm going to win. Like, I know how to argue longer and be louder, and I can hold a grudge for days. Like, I'm good at this, right? But I had to stop focusing on everybody else. All the women in the room, anybody that looked at my husband. Like, I had to stop focusing on him, because that's the best way to get an argument. I'm going to need you to call your sponsor. Ooh, you want to get in a fight with somebody, you tell them that, right? I said that a lot. I'm going to need you to call your sponsor. So with that, I learned to kind of focus on me, right? I had to turn it around and look at me. And what am I doing? What's my side of the street look like? What am I choosing to participate in today? And so with that, my level of perspective was just growing, right? I was starting to see things outside of myself and how I interact with other people, and what does that look like? How am I a friend today? How am I a wife? How am I a mother, right? My relationship with my children were so at odds because I didn't want to contribute to them. Like, it's just, I didn't know what to do for them, you know? And when Christian was younger, we'd go out to eat, and I didn't know what he wanted to order on the menu. It's like, ask your dad. He'll order for you. Like, I was so selfish. So selfish. You know, and the relationship that I have with each one of my children today is individual and important to me. Like, they are each their own person. And it took this program for me to see that. It took this program for me to care. And how bad is that? Like, they're my children. But this disease will tell me other things, right? It will keep me selfish. It will keep me self-centered. And, oh, they're just bad kids. And I didn't know how to discipline from love. I know how to beat your ass. But I know how to discipline from love. And you know, the girls now, so it's like there's five kids, three girls, two boys, and the girls are like, you go so easy on Christian, because he's the baby. And I was like, baby, I'm not capable of parenting like that anymore. Like, I'm sorry you had to watch that growth, but that's what it was. Like, I'm just not that person today, and I'm so grateful for that. So grateful. You know, and the service of this program, the service gives me hope. The service teaches me that it's not all about me, right? And you get that gratitude, you get that humility when you do something for someone else. And that's what this program is wrapped around, right? The humility of it and the strength and the power that we have to reach the newcomer. And I love the newcomers. I love the newcomers in this program because that gives me that opportunity to say, it's going to be okay, right? You know, if you're at your home group and there's people there that you don't know, you might want to take a look at that. You know, if I miss meetings on a regular basis and then I show up and there's so many new faces there, I might need to take a look at that. I don't know who you are. I'm Stacey Joe and I'm an addict. Welcome to Tomball. Right? That's what this is about. I can't stay in my clique and my little comfort zone because it's comfortable, because we're here to spread the message of recovery. And we can't spread it if we're keeping our mouth shut, stuck in our own little corner, being selfish. That's not what it's about. You know, I have found my identity in this program. Like, I belong in Narcotics Anonymous. I am true and through an addict. And I own that. Like, my clean date is so important to me. You know, it was told to me that if your clean date is not as important to you as the birth of your children or the marriage of your spouse or the death of your mother, then you're going to give it away. Because I'm the only one that can take my clean date away. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why it's so important to me. You know, and I've grown so much in these years. I've just recently finished my 12th step. And, you know, it's been a couple years. Has it been a couple years? I can't even lose track of time, but I did. I lost my mother not too long ago. I think it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. And she was somebody that was my biggest supporter. And she was still in her addiction, but in such a way that had she tried to detox, this is what I truly believe, that had she tried to detox, she would have died. She had so many medical problems. She had so much narcotics coming in her system that her body was just shutting down in a way that you just had to love her where she was at. I had bought her a Narcotics Anonymous book, and she loved reading that thing. And she loved hearing about all my stories. And she's like, you just do so much. We're going to a camp out. We're going to a convention. We're going to the beach. We're doing this. We're doing that. Like, and the people that would come to my kids' birthday parties were y'all, right? Like, y'all were my safe place. Y'all were my people. And those kind of parties, like, all the kids open whatever cooler you want. They're all safe, right? That's what it's about, right? We learn how to live today and still have fun clean. And so I would tell my mom all these stories, and some of those times I was able to get honest with her and be like, hey, mama, you remember when I told you da-da-da? And, well, this is what really happened. And she's like, really? Yeah. So, I mean, I was able to come clean with some of that, you know, and when I lost her, I didn't have any regrets. I didn't have any regrets. I shared everything with her, and she loved me that I love this program. I know that in the last 2 years, like, I have grown spiritually in a way that, like, my relationship with my higher power is amazing. We have daily conversations. Like, I'm just chatting it up, right? Or I'm just praying, or I'm listening to whatever puts me in that mindset of where I need to be. And it's easier today to get more God-centered because I've been practicing it, right? Like, I can get there quicker than I used to. Used to take a minute. Somebody said, did you pray? What? Why would I do that? Today I pray, I ask for things, I'm grateful for things, I thank my higher power for things today, like, you know, and let me go back to the identity part of this, is that I think the longer that I've stayed clean, the more true to myself that I have become, right? Like, I have accepted everything in my past, and I'm okay with it. I am not defined by it today, but I feel like my higher power had me walk through what I walked through just so I could be there for somebody else. That's the strength and the experience, strength and hope, because back in the day, like, if somebody tried to tell me what to do, I wasn't trying to hear you. It was just closed off. Don't tell me what to do. Like, I can't I can't respond to that, right? Like, it's just all negative. But when you've walked a mile the way I've walked a mile, all of a sudden I'm going to listen. And that's that therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Like, that is so true. Like, I don't want to hear just because you got degrees and you're in an office and you got this and you know what you're talking about. Like, I want to hear it from one of you motherfuckers that have been on the streets, right? That lived it, that know it, that understand it. So when I say something crazy, I don't get some twisted eye and they're like, I don't know about you, right? I don't get that. I get some loving and some real solutions today that tell me where I need to be and what I need to hear when I need to hear it. And sometimes it's like, I just need you to shut up and sit down. And I say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, and then the part of this program that is just so much hope is that we are all doing it together. I don't have to walk this program alone. Like, I love the fellowship. I love going to meetings. I love being a part of. It's like when you were using, you got to go out, right, and do things, but you'd come back broke and busted and you got robbed and you ain't got nothing left. But now I get to go out and hang out and party and remember it and have all these meaningful relationships, and we're still doing and this and we're having fun and we're just living the narcotics way of life, right? Like, that's all it is. Like, I'm learning how to live today, and NA has taught me how to do that with you guys. And I share, you know, I share the struggles that I'm going to with my support group, and they're there to literally just support me. They don't want anything from me. I've never asked, nobody's ever asked anything of me other than just stay clean and keep coming back. Never have I had that. And that means so much to be wanted and needed and to feel a part of. Like, I belong in Narcotics Anonymous. I belong here. There's, you know, I accepted it a long time ago that this is my way of life. And I don't ever want to not go to a meeting. I don't ever want to not be a part of this fellowship. Like, I am so grateful for my clean date and all the predecessors before me that brought this program. I'm so grateful for my sponsor and the step work and all the relationships that I have today. My family is so grateful that I have a program today, right? Like, oh my gosh, let me tell you. Sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm going to leave you where you're at. I'm going to go this way, right? I don't have to say my 2 cents today. I don't have to win every argument. I just need to do what I need to do to keep my side of the street clean and be spiritually fit for that. And I need to continue to work on me and just keep growing in this program, because when they say more will be revealed, they are so true. I have no idea what recovery has in store for me, but I am so blessed for what it's given me already. Like, I would not want to change my way of life in any shape or form. I find myself in these rooms so much easier than I do anywhere else in my life, right? If the whole world could just work a program, we'd be great. Oh my gosh. Everybody needs it. Oh, and I'm so grateful for my clean date and that I've been asked by the committee to speak today on hope, because that's the foundation of this program, is that we can stay clean today. You know, and I want to throw in just one more thing, is that, you know, at the end of a meeting when we say, let's take a moment of silence for the addict suffering in and outside these rooms, do you know how powerful it is if you truly take just a moment and think about the addicts that are suffering in and outside these rooms and find the humility and the gratitude in that just alone in that single moment? That's how powerful this program is. That's what I'm grateful for. And I love you guys. That's all I got. Yeah.